Welcome to Shiur and Svarno Parshas Vayelech. The Shiur this evening is sponsored by Ronald Feldman in memory of the yahrzeit of his father Stanley Feldman, the Neshama should have an Aliyah, Shemot Shnachas Ruach, and the Talmud says some Ma'asim Tovim that the family are involved in. The Parsha starts off Vayelech Moshe. Moshe went Vaydaber Sadvarim Ho'ela Kol Yisrael. And he spoke the following words, which the Torah is going to outline to the entire Jewish people. Many of the Mefarshim try to understand what the word Vayelech, you know, that he went, means in this context. Where did he go? You know, if it just means that he, you know, went and spoke, so then what is added by the fact that he went? And what's the significance of his going? So the Svarno writes over here that Vayelech Moshe means his orer lozeh. He was inspired to share the following thoughts. In other words, Vayelech doesn't mean that he physically went anywhere. That's in contrast to other Mefarshim. The Ibn Ezra, for instance, writes that Moshe Rabbeinu went in, you know, to the tents of all of Klal Yisrael to spread the words that he was about to say, as opposed to calling Klal Yisrael to him. But that's not the pshat of the Svarno. He understands that Vayelech doesn't mean anything physical. It means a hisorus, that he was inspired to the following idea. And he says, Kemo Vayelech ish mi beis Levi Vayelech vayavod. We find the usage of Vayelech in the sense of embarking upon a project elsewhere. So for instance, with the very birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayelech ish mi beis Levi Vayikach is bas Levi, says in Shmos Perek Beis, a man went from the house of Levi and married the daughter of Levi. What does it mean that he went and he married her? It means that he embarked upon a new stage in life by marrying his wife. So here too, it means that he embarked on this new project to share these words. So again, what does that mean? So what was the significance of saying that he was beginning something new? So explains the Svarno, V'zesha achar shehishlim inyan krisas habris. So Nitzavim, as we saw, was all about the covenant that Moshe Rabbeinu was describing, which would be made between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. His orer lenachem es Yisrael al misaso. So he was inspired to change course a little bit, and instead of talking exclusively about the bris, and the bris, after all, according to the Svarno, means the bris which was going to be made at Har Grizim and Har Eval, when Klal Yisrael would come into Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu basically is describing an event that's going to take place after his death. And he realizes that sharing news of his death with Klal Yisrael is very depressing for them. So his orer, he was inspired to embark on a new project, a new focus, that is to comfort the Jewish people about his impending death. Kedei shelo ye'arbevu simchas habris hori'uya lohem. Why was it important to comfort Klal Yisrael about his death? Okay, so, you know, he's going to pass away. That's the way it is. So the Svarno says something very interesting. He says, all of this talk about the bris that Moshe Rabbeinu has been having with Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu wants the people to associate the bris with joy, with happiness. And if their association with the bris is, yes, we're going to have a bris with the Ribbono Shel Olam, but our great leader, Moshe Rabbeinu, isn't going to be there in order to oversee this bris, that by necessity is going to mar the happiness of the bris, which Klal Yisrael otherwise would have had. Lahoros al hayosa mikablim habris besimcha, al derech yismach Yisrael ba'osof. It's imperative, says the Svarno, that the bris be entered into besimcha on behalf of Klal Yisrael, that they have this sense of happiness that's associated with the bris, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want anything to somehow mar the simcha of the bris, even the fact that he's not going to be there anymore. So he goes, Vayelech Moshe, he's inspired to add something that he had not really focused on previously. Let me tell you, O Klal Yisrael, you should be comforted, it will be okay that I won't be there to be there with you at the bris. Nonetheless, you should have simcha and joy when the bris takes place. How do we know that it's imperative that the bris be done b'simcha? So he quotes the pasuk we say every morning in Pesukah Dezimra, Yismach Yisrael ba'osav, let Klal Yisrael rejoice in its creator. In other words, whenever we forge a relationship with our Creator, it's imperative that there be simcha. And there's a specific pasuk that speaks about simcha at the time of the bris. The pasuk earlier in Perek Chav Zayin, when it describes the bris in Har Grisim and Har Eval, that particular bris, it says, "V'zavachta shlamim v'yachalta sham," you should shecht karbonos and eat them there. In other words, shlamim karbonos v'samachta l'fnei Hashem elokecha, and you should rejoice before Hashem your God. It's interesting that the Gemara uses this pasuk to teach us that part of Simchas Yom Tov involves the consumption of meat. That you're supposed to eat the meat of Karbonos when the Beis HaMikdash stood. You're supposed to eat the meat of Karbonos in order to properly celebrate on Yom Tov. The Rishonim point out, the Gemara quotes this pasuk, which is not really about Yom Tov. This pasuk is stated in the context of the bris at Har Grisim and Har Eifel. So in other words, what we see from here is that the source of consuming karbonos on Yom Tov, when the Beis HaMikdash stood, is that and having that be part of our simcha of Yom Tov, the idea of simchas Yom Tov, is learned out from the simcha of the bris. In other words, the simcha of the bris between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam is the paradigm that's supposed to be celebrated with shalmei simcha, with karbonos. And then we learn from that to every Yom Tov, when the Beis HaMikdash stood, that's supposed to be celebrated with Shalmei Simcha, with the bringing of Karbonos. So the Simcha is imperative, it's basic. So Moshe Rabbeinu has to speak to the people to make sure that the Simcha isn't marred in any way by his passing. Just worth noting, bringing this to contemporary times, we know that the Chazal say about the performance of a Bris Milah, that kol mitzvah shekiblu Yisrael b'simcha dain osin osah b'simcha. There's a tremendous emphasis on simcha associated with the bris milah as well. That's a couple of years ago we were learning these inyanim of bris milah. We pointed out that the poskim say that although the sudas mitzvah by a bris milah is not an absolute chiyuv, it's not an absolute obligation, it's not, you know, if you look in the poskim, it's not on the level of, let's say, a simchas nisuin, of a sudas nisuin, where there's an obligation to have a suuda as part of the wedding celebration. There isn't an absolute obligation to have a suuda at the time of the bris milah. Nonetheless, the poskim underscore how it's very important to have a suuda at the time of the bris milah, even though it's not an actual obligation, but it underscores this idea of simcha. Why is it so important? What you're so... you know, you're so anxious to have a bagel. You know, why is it so incredibly important to have, you know, simcha at the time of the bris milah? Because it underscores that a bris in general is supposed to be done b'simcha. And here's the paradigm. The paradigm is the bris at Har Grisim and Har Eival. Simcha was an imperative, an absolute part of that. So we can extrapolate from there that any bris that we make with the Ribbono Shel Olam, even the individual's bris with the Ribbono Shel Olam, which is what bris milah is all about, there should be an important element of simcha, which is part of that as well. Okay, so what were the words of Nechama that he spoke to, that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Klal Yisrael? So first, Vayomer Aleihem, Ben Mea Ve'esim Shana Anochi Ayom. He first said to them, I'm 120 years old today. And comments the Svarno, I think we can't say this, but the Svarno can say this. Shouldn't get sad over the fact that I'm about to pass away, says Moshe Rabbeinu. I've come to the end of the road, you know, from a natural perspective. I've reached my limit. I'm not going to live much longer anyway. So don't feel that bad, relatively speaking, that I'm not going to be with you. Furthermore, I'm no longer able to go and come. Comments the Svarim of Agamim, even if I was alive, I would be infirm, and it would be difficult for me, impossible for me to really serve as your leader. So don't feel bad. In other words, my inability to be with you is just part of the natural, the natural course of things, and it shouldn't interrupt the simcha. Vashem Amar Elai. And furthermore, Hashem said to me, Lo Savor es Hayarden Azeh, you should not cross over this Jordan River. Says the Svarno Vagam, Im Hoyisi Yochol, Lot Seis Vilovo. And Hashem Amar Elai, Lo Savor, Ve'im kein tov lochem shalmus kedei shetuchlu la'avor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I, Moshe Rabbeinu, am not able to pass over the Yarden into Eretz Yisrael, which means that I would be holding you back. So as much as you care about me on a personal level, but my death, says Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael, will enable you to go into Eretz Yisrael. So don't feel bad in the big picture, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael. In the big picture, it's not such a terrible thing that I won't be with you. Furthermore, Hashem Elokecha hu aver lefonecha, Hashem your God will go before you, hu yashmid es hagoyim ha'elam lefonecha virishtom, He's going to destroy all of these nations from before you. Yoshua hu over lefonecha kasher diber Hashem. Yoshua will go before you, as Hashem said. In comments to Sfarno, these are still words of Nechama. Uchemochein ein lochem lehisatzev amashatov amikem hanhagasi. Don't be saddened by the fact that I'll no longer be your leader. Ki omnom Hashem Elokecha over lefonecha. Because who's your real leader? It's not me, Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the Ribbono Shalom. Hashem Elokecha hu aver lefonecha. Hashem is passing before you. Uvachein tisku lanhaga yoser tovim in hanhagasi. And Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, the onov mikol adam, the ultimate humble person, says, you know, the Ribbono Shalom is in charge. He's the one running the show. And he'll provide even greater leadership than me myself. Yoshua hu over lefonecha. Kasher diber Hashem. What's the kasher diber Hashem? Yoshua will pass before you, as Hashem had said. Omnam Yoshua eino hamanig, aval hu over lefonecha b'mitzvah sokel yisal Yoshua hamanig. Don't feel that you're going from me, Moshe Rabbeinu, who's a superior leader, to Yoshua, who's still, so to speak, wet behind the ears. He's not on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Don't feel that way. Yoshua, both I and Yoshua are just the emissaries. We're the shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yoshua hu over lefonecha kasher diber Hashem. It's Hashem who appointed me. It's Hashem who appointed Yoshua. You're in good hands, Klal Yisrael. You don't have to worry. Don't let anything destroy the simcha, which is going to be part of the bris. Yeah. Right. Right, so it's interesting. So how do you fit in the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was talking about his inability to come and go when the pasuk at the very end of Chumash testifies against about Moshe Rabbeinu? He was sharp up until the very end. So the truth is the Sfarno doesn't address this. The Ramban does address this. The Ramban writes, "V'afalpi." This is from the Ramban on Pasuk Beis. "V'afalpi Shemoshe Rabbeinu ha'yo b'tokfa u'b'briyuso." Even though Moshe Rabbeinu was in full strength when he passed away, kasheherid hakosuv, as the pasuk says, lochasa einov lonos lecho, as the pasuk says, amar lohem kein lenachamam. So the first pshat the Ramban says is that, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to pat the people on the back and make them feel better. It wasn't really true. I mean, the truth is, he was fine. He could have kept going, you know, ad infinitum. But to make them feel better, he said, you know, I'm coming to the end of my rope anyway. I'm not really able to lead you, to deal with you in the way I did before. Fine. So, and then he adds, V'rabuseinu amru. So this is the Ramban. The Chazal write to the Gemara and Sotu Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Milamen shenistat mu mimenu mayonos chachma. What does it mean, lauchal od lotzeis velovo? It doesn't mean that physically he was lacking anything, because the Torah says about Moshe Rabbeinu that he was in full physical vigor until he passed away. But whatever this means exactly, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid from Moshe Rabbeinu at the very end of his life the mayonos hachochma, the wellsprings of wisdom. I don't know what that. I'd probably be very happy to know what Moshe Rabbeinu knew after the mayonos hachochma were hidden from him, right? But whatever it means, on some level, the wellsprings of wisdom were hidden from Moshe Rabbeinu. And on this, the Ramban comments, v'hoyo zeh b'maisa nes. It was actually miraculous that Moshe Rabbeinu had the wellsprings of wisdom hidden from him. Why? Shlo yidag losis gedula li Yoshua b'fanov.
This way Moshe Rabbeinu himself would feel better to give over the mantle of leadership to Yahushua, because he himself would feel, you know, my time has come. You know, I'm not the man I used to be yesterday, where I was able to understand everything. It's time to give it over to Yahushua, and he doesn't feel bad about giving it over to Yahushua. That's the Ramban's very fascinating interpretation of this Maimer Chazal. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to make Moshe Rabbeinu feel better also, that the mantle of leadership was being passed to the next generation. Wanted to get into something briefly for the next 10 minutes or so, till we dive in Ma'ariv. Very fascinating and unusual pshat that the Sfarno has in the Parsha of Hakel. So we know that in Perek Lamed Aleph, starting Pasuk Yud, well, we have the unusual phenomena, which we learned yesterday, you know, not just the first three aliyahs we're going to read on Shabbos, we learned the first four aliyahs we're going to read on Shabbos. We combined the Shlishi and Revi together. That's how short these aliyahs are. So the beginning of Revi, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud, Moshe Rabbeinu introduces the idea of Hakel. Every 7 years, Bevoko Yisrael Erosis Bnei Hashem Elokecha, when Klal Yisrael comes to the Beis HaMikdosh by Sukkos, Tikros HaTorah Hazos Neged Kol Yisrael Be'ozneim. You should read this Torah opposite all of Klal Yisrael in their ears. They should listen, V'shomru Lasos is called Divrei HaTorah Hazos. And they should listen and they should observe this entire Torah. What exactly is the Torah that is being read in the ears of Klal Yisrael? So the Gemara in Sota elaborates that it was the Melech, the king, who was appointed to read sections of the Torah in the ears of Klal Yisrael, and the sections of the Torah that he read were from Chumash Dvarim, as outlined there in the Gemara in Sota, the various portions of Chumash Dvarim that the Melech read in the ears of Klal Yisrael. How do we know says the Sferno on this, just take a second, says the Sferno, this idea that the Melech reads Chumash Dvarim is already hinted at a little bit earlier in the Parsha as well. In Pasuk Tes, after Moshe Rabbeinu has called in Yehoshua and strengthened him and said that he's going to lead Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, it says, Vayichtov Moshe es HaTorah Hazos. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down this Torah. Vayitno el HaKohanu b'nei Levi hanosim es Aron b'ris Hashem v'yal kol ziknei Yisrael. He gave the Torah to the Kohanim and to the Zikanim, to the elders of Klal Yisrael. What is the Torah Hazos? What is this Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down? So Rashi writes, Vayichtov Moshe Vayitna, Kishenigmara Kula, Nosna Livnei Shivta. When the entire Torah was finished, Moshe Rabbeinu gave it to the Kohanim. Right? Rashi is reacting to the obvious question. It says, Vayichtov Moshe Satara Hazos, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the Torah. We still got a little bit of Chumash to go. So, you know, what does it mean that he wrote down? So, Rashi explains that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down, even though it's being described here in Parshas Vayelech, that he wrote down the Sefer Torah, it really means that he wrote up until Vayelech, and he wrote from here till the end of the Sefer Torah as well. He wrote the Torah in its entirety and gave it over to the Kohanim. The Ramban similarly writes, Mitchilas Breishis, Ad le'enei kol Yisrael. Right? When it says Vayichtov Moshe Satara Azos, it means from Breishis to le'enei kol Yisrael to the very end of Chumash. In other words, he spells out that which Rashi pretty much says. You know, the Ramban just spells it out, that it's literally from the beginning of Chumash till the end of Chumash. And then the Ramban adds, Ve'afal pi shebekan kosov tikra es hatorah hazos neged kol Yisrael. Even though in just two psukim later, when the Torah describes the mitzvah of Hakel, the Torah uses the language Tikras Had Torah Hazos, read this Torah. So it would seem that if Moshe Rabbeinu has just written down the entire Torah, and then the Pasuk says Tikras Had Torah Hazos, read this Torah, presumably it would mean that by Hakel, the Melech should read the entire Torah from Bereishis until Le'enei Kol Yisrael. But that's not true. According to Chazal, says the Ramban, the Melech only read portions of Chumash Devarim. Aval bezeh chazar ubiyer, vayhi kichalos Moshe lichtovis divrei HaTorah zos al sefer ad tumam, bezeh yichlo kol HaTorah kula. Says the Ramban, since the Chumash at the end of Parshas Vayelech goes back and says that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down all of this Torah ad tumam, until the very end, so that clarifies that what Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down was the entire Torah, and when he talks about the mitzvah of Hakel and Tikros HaTorah Zos, read this Torah, it means a portion of this Torah. It doesn't mean the Torah in its entirety. That's the Ramban. The Sfarno explicitly argues on this. Sfarno has a very fascinating interpretation. Writes the Sfarno, no, when it says Tikros HaTorah, when it says Vayichtov Moshe HaTorah Zos, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down this Torah, it means Parshas HaMelech, Shetziva Ato Sheyikra BaHakel. So it's a tremendous chiddush over here. The Sfarno understands that when the Melech got up by Hakel and read the Parsha that he read, it's not that he took a full Sefer Torah and, you know, just rolled it to the appropriate portions. There was a special klaf, there was a special parchment that had those portions that the Melech was supposed to read. The Parshas HaMelech was written down on a klaf, much as we find that the Parsha of the Soto was written down independently, much as we find that the Parshios and Tefillin and a Mezuzah are written down independently. So the Melech also had a special klaf that contained those portions that he was going to read. So that says the Sfarno, in contrast to the Ramban, when it says, Vayichtov Moshe Satorah Hazos, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down this Torah, it means the portions that were read by the Melech. It doesn't mean the Torah in its entirety. And by the way, that would answer the difficulty that we mentioned that you have with Rashi and the Ramban. You can answer the question, but if he wrote down the entire Torah, what does it mean he wrote down the entire Torah? The entire Torah hasn't been finished yet. You know, he's still a couple of prakim away from the end. According to the Svar, you can answer that, Kasha. But according to the Sfarno, you don't have the Kasha to begin with. He wrote down the Parshios that the Melech would read, which basically bring you through Parshas Kisavo, the Brachos and Klalos. And he gave it to the Kohan and B'nai Levi, this copy of the Parshas HaMelech. And then he said as follows, Bevocho Yisrael Leiros Esprei Hashem Elokecha B'amokom Asher Yivchar. Once every 7 years, when they come to the Beis HaMikdosh on Sukkos, Tikra Es HaTorah Hazos. Read this Torah, meaning this Megillah that the Parshas HaMelech is written on. Not that you're going to have to take out a Sefer Torah and start, you know, rolling around from here to there. There's this, you know, everything by the Melech is done on the highest level. There shouldn't be any Tircha de Tzibura whatsoever by rolling the Sefer Torah from place to place. That's presumably why you would have a Parshas HaMelech as opposed to just having a regular Sefer Torah and just rolling it a little bit at times. So that's what he told them. Take this parsha and read it by Hakel. So why did he give them? Why did he give this parsha Samelech to the Kohanim? So he writes, Shemiyodom yikablenu Hamelech hakorei kaosa shishoninu haskan nosno lekoin gadol vekoin gadol lemelech. You find that the Mishnah in Soto says, how did the Melech get the Sefer Torah? So, the Kohanim had possession of the Sefer Torah. The Kohanim took the skan, the assistant Kohen Gadol, took the Sefer Torah. He gave it to the Kohen Gadol, and then the Kohen Gadol gave it to the Melech. So where was the Sefer Torah? Presumably in the possession of the Kohanim. So the Kohanim had to hold on to this, this Parshas HaMelech, for safekeeping until such time that they would give it to the Melech to read. So that's why he gave it to the Kohanim. The Melech would wear the Sefer Torah this off. Right. But that's a whole Sefer Torah. No, so that's not the Sefer Torah. That's the Sefer Torah that we'd have with him at all times. This is the special, not even a sefer, this is a special Megillah that, according to the Sfarno, was used exclusively for the mitzvah of Hakel by the Melech. It's not that he just whipped off the Sefer Torah from his arm and started reading it. It was a specially designated klaf for that purpose. That also explains the Sfarno, why he gave it to the Zakenim. He gave it to the Kohanim, he gave it to the Zakenim. Why? Shemiyodom yikablu ha-Kohanim es ha-Torah b'hakel. Because if you go back to that same Mishnah in Sota, where did the Kohanim get it from? Chazan ha-Knesses nosein l'rosh ha-Knesses v'rosh ha-Knesses l'skan. The Chazan ha-Knesses, who was, for lack of a better term, kind of the Shamus of the Beis HaMikdash, he was in charge of making sure that everything in the Beis HaMikdash ran properly. So he would take the Sefer Torah, he would give it to the one above him, and they would give it on to the Kohanim. So it was the Kohanim and the Zakenim who were handling this Parshas HaMelech, and that idea is merumos. It's hinted at in the Torah itself. This whole procedure of the Chazan HaKnesses giving it to the Rosh HaKnesses, who's going to give it to the Skan Kohen Gadol, who's going to give it to the Kohen Gadol, who's going to give it to the Melech. That whole procedure is hinted at in the Psukim themselves. You know, the way the Sfarno understands the Psukim. We've pointed out before, the Sfarno shows us in many cases how the Torah Shebiksav and the Torah Shebaalpeh are intertwined with one another. And here's yet one more example where something in a Mishnah which doesn't seem to have an obvious source in the Chumash, in the Torah Shebiksav, nonetheless does have such a source. Yeah. So it's the Parshio, the Gemara in Sota goes through much of Sefer Dvarim, not this Parsha specifically, but much of Sefer Dvarim is included in what the Melech read during Hakel. Okay, Bez Hashem, just as we finish up, we'll want to wish everyone a Ksivach Simatova, a good Geben Shio, it should be a good year for everybody. We will continue our Limud of Sfarno and Parshas Vayelech on the afternoon of Tzom Gedalia, Bezus Hashem. That's the next time that we have the Mincha Ma'ariv set up the way we do, over Yontav, to the extent to which we have Shiurim, they'll be in Yana Yontav. So we'll pick up Bezus Hashem Thursday night, and again, everyone should have a Ksiva V'Chasimah Tovah.